Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Welcome all. Welcome all. Let's get it. We got the show today. What's popping up on my screen right now? Let's take a look. Let's see. Oh, Adobe. Why would Adobe open up on my computer right now? I didn't click anything. All right. We're back, baby. We're back after a weekend of football. What's going on? Hey, I got a little... Oh, my God. All right. If we're just going to freeze like this, I'm going to not be on here for long. We're going to have to figure out what's going on if we keep freezing. Looks like we're good now. Welcome back. We're back after a weekend of football, baby. It is time to recap what we saw. And this shit gets me fired. I love that shit so much, dude. We were sitting right next to the LSU band during this Ole Miss LSU game, man. And all they did the whole game, it was what was that other one that they did? Oh man, all I can think of is every LSU fan, without fail, every single LSU fan you see. I got to a point, bro, where I couldn't help it. I was just going, oh! It's like every second of my trip this weekend. And it was phenomenal. It was a great weekend. I got to be a college kid again, go down there, see my little cousin, hang out with his bros, hang out with his fraternity brothers, you know, sleep on a couch. You know, we had a house party at the spot that I stayed at. So I'm kind of low on sleep. I'm catching up on sleep. But it was a good freaking time, brother. It was a good time. And obviously, living out here in Phoenix, you don't get a chance to see a whole hell of a lot of real deal SEC football. There's no other athletic organization like it in the land, college or pro. There's nothing like SEC football. And this weekend reminded me of that. There's nothing like it. So, got to go to the Ole Miss LSU game. My big cousin, he's kind of, he's more like an uncle or a great uncle, but he's got a box there at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, and so we got to go up in the box. A B-2 bomber flew over the stadium for the national anthem, and it was pretty badass. A B-2. It wasn't as loud as I thought it would be, but holy shit, that thing. You know what that thing looked like? It looked like it's like a big boomerang. You know, it obviously it flies like that, but that's what it was shaped like. It's like a big boomerang, or like, you know how you screw in like a little washer? It's got that thing at the end of it that you screw in. That's what the B-2 looked like, dude, in the sky. It was wild. And you think, like, if somebody's got smoke with America, like, that's what you fly in to let motherfuckers know. That B-2, and it's sleek, it's intimidating, it's fast. I mean, it was really interesting to see that thing fly over. So, obviously gonna provide thoughts on that game. Today we're going to talk about the Alabama versus Georgia game as well. Those were really the two premier games in college football this week. Penn State, Oregon, they had college game day there. I don't know why they had college game day there. Like, I get it, you're trying to get these other schools, you're trying to get these non-SEC schools a little bit of press, you're trying to get them a little bit of publicity. I get it. And it was a good game. It went to overtime. We were watching it during the Bama game. They had a little setup at this college house I was staying in, where it was one TV low, one TV high. So we got to watch both games at the same time. Quite frankly, just looking at Penn State, Oregon, and then looking at Alabama, Georgia, looking at those two games side by side, it's very clear why the SEC has been, and always will be the premier conference in college football. The size of the men playing, the speed, the contact courage, it's all just on a different level. And I'm not saying Penn State Oregon wasn't a high level game. I'll tell you this, even though they lost, Penn State's quarterback, I noticed one play, I think it was a smash pattern. He just dropped a dart in the breadbasket of one of his receivers for a touchdown. I was really impressed with that throw. But like I said, just watching the Bama-Georgia game and then watching the Oregon-Penn State game side by side, you can, if you understand the game, you can see the difference. It's a big, big difference in the way these guys fly to the ball and hit, and their physicality. And I don't necessarily think it might be a mental thing, but I just think that the physical nature, the way that Alabama guys and Georgia guys are able to fly to the ball and hit is different than Oregon guys. It's just different. I don't know if it's contact courage or just God-given ability, or a little bit of both. But it's a stark difference. You can see it. So we're going to talk about Alabama-Georgia. Jackson Dart, first start yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about that. Philadelphia Eagles squeak out another win. But I'm still convinced that this offense is not that good. Not that good. Jalen Hurts, I'm still convinced, not that good. We'll get into that. Liam Cohen, Robert Saleh. Look, Jacksonville Jaguars knock off the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers, they were 3-0 with Mac Jones playing quarterback. They play Jacksonville, and they get beat. Brock Purdy's first game back. They get beat at home, I believe. Yeah, it was 49ers at home. And we have a little dispute after the game between San Francisco's defensive coordinator and Jacksonville's play calling head coach, Liam Cohen. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Did Lamar quit? Kansas City Chiefs, they beat the shit out of Baltimore. Lamar goes out of the game with a hamstring injury. Did he just quit? We'll talk about that. There's a lot to talk about if you didn't already pick up on that. So, what happened in this Ole Miss LSU game? I'm convinced that LSU is going to have to fire their offensive coordinator, Joe Sloan. I think there's people up top at LSU, athletic directors, calling for his job. It just seems like LSU's play calling on offense is too vanilla. It's too risk averse. I will say they don't have their star running back. I remember watching number 29, Durham, to start the year, and he's a great player. And I noticed they did not have him in this game against Ole Miss. And he was, I feel like he's sorely missed in that offense. Just to take some pressure off Nussmeier, just to take some pressure off Joe Sloan. I feel like Joe Sloan and the LSU offense, they almost feel lost. Okay, Nussmeier, he's throwing these out routes, he's throwing these checkdowns. Ole Miss's defense looked incredible against these guys. Really, LSU's offense, they only had one big play all day, and it was a bomb of a pass where Ole Miss's safety chose to play the body instead of play the ball. Now, it looked like it was man coverage, and that's your job. But in a moment like that, you have to have some awareness. You have to have some instinct. And so this Ole Miss safety was closing. It was a duck of a throw, by the way. It was a duck. Like, the receiver for LSU on this big play was just standing there for a half second, and the Ole Miss safety chose to play his body and not the ball, and he didn't get there in time. A big play happened. They end up scoring on that drive, but that was literally the only big play. LSU actually scored the first touchdown of the game, but it was on a well-played ball on Ole Miss defense's part that was tipped up and caught, tiptoed in by a receiver for LSU. And so LSU, I believe, they only scored, what was the final score? It was like 24-27. I can't even remember the final score. I was literally at the fucking game. But just some quirky offensive play calling decisions that I didn't agree with. Apparently, Lane Kiffin had LSU's Whit Weeks over for dinner the night before the game. He's obviously dating the daughter, Landry. And I just can't imagine how much of a pressure cooker that probably was for Whit Weeks. I bet if you're smart, if you're Brian Kelly and you're smart, you notice that I didn't just assume that. If you're Brian Kelly and you're smart, you take Whit Weeks to the side and you say, hey, are you going to Coach Kiffin's for dinner tonight? Okay, don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. And we'll be okay. Good? I mean, what a pressure cooker. I guarantee you, in fact, unless LSU is just idiotic, that they briefed Whit Weeks on what to talk about, what not to talk about, in going over to the Kiffin's house for dinner to meet his girlfriend's dad, the head ball coach, who they were playing against. Ole Miss, dude, it's so funny. The fact that Lane Kiffin tweeted, take the over, I think the over was like 53 points. Everyone at Ole Miss that I was hanging out with said, this is going to be a shootout. This is going to be a shootout. This is going to be a shootout. And it was just that for most of the game, the exact opposite. Now, Ole Miss just RPO'd the shit out of LSU. They RPO'd the shit out of them because they know that Weeks is kind of, he kind of plays those.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
RPO's flat-footed. Granted, he had like 10 tackles. Guy throws up on the field. I feel like he almost shit himself. Somebody drugged him. There's a lot of fun storylines around this game that we members of the media can have fun with. Landry drugged him. She took him over to the Kiffin House to get all this intel on LSU's defense, et cetera, et cetera. And then you see a clip. I didn't see it in real life. I didn't notice it in real life of Witt throwing up on the field, maybe shitting himself. Guy had 10 tackles, but it just seemed like he was pretty flat-footed the whole day on the RPOs. And they just got RPO'd to death. That was the game plan for Ole Miss. Another problem Weeks had was he wasn't carrying that two-receiver through. He wasn't carrying that two-receiver through, and so that created a lot of open looks to the boundary for Ole Miss. And you know, you got this quarterback. His name's Trinidad Chambliss. Trinidad Chambliss. Won a couple national championships in Division II. Won a couple most valuable players, whatever that award's called, in Division II. And everyone in Oxford, when I was down there, was just happy as a clam about him being the starting quarterback. And a lot of people think that Ole Miss can go the distance with him at starting quarterback. You got students throughout the stadium flying Trinidad flags, right? Flag of Trinidad. It's a big red flag with a black line diagonally running through it. You got these students wearing Trinidad flags because they're so fired up about Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback for their Ole Miss Rebels. And the guy played great. He can make a lot of plays with his legs. He did miss a couple throws that I noticed. He missed a couple throws. But when it mattered, when the lights were on, when they needed conversions, he was able to either pull it down with his legs and get the first or make a good throw and convert. And Ole Miss's offense just with RPO after RPO after RPO. So that was a game. I think Ole Miss are going to be national championship contenders. I think from what the boys that I was hanging out with told me, Ole Miss is now number four in the country. After winning that game, they take LSU spot at number four. And I was telling them this. I was telling everybody who listened in Oxford this weekend this. Who would you rather in college football have as your head coach than Lane Kiffin? For the Ole Miss Rebels. Who would you rather have as your head coach? I don't really have a good answer. He's entertaining. He chirps. He creates buzz. He's got a golden Labrador named Juice, who I got to meet Juice down in the Grove. Juice Kiffin. There's just a lot of... And Ole Miss, I'll say, man, Ole Miss was trolling. Ole Miss was trolling after they got that win against LSU. They were playing that Baton Rouge song after. And the cool thing I noticed about Ole Miss is that everybody hangs out for a little bit in the stadium after the game's over, after a win. So they played that Baton Rouge song. I can't remember how it goes. And then, I don't know if it was a band. It's kind of weird. I didn't know if it was the band or if it was the stereo system, but they played Talking Out of the Side of Your Neck after the game. The LSU band cannot play this song because they'll get fined. They cannot play this song unless they get fined. Or they will get fined if they play this. And so Ole Miss played this after the game. And so instead of suck that tiger bitch, it was suck that rebel bitch. And everybody was saying it, everybody in the stadium. So they were trolling. Lane Kiffin posted something on Twitter right after the game. It was like a briefing. It was like a transcript from some LSU football talk show where Brian Kelly was talking about what he thought they were going to go in there and do. So, you know, tremendous troll job from Ole Miss. They do a really good job, and it's buzzing in Oxford. I was talking to my dad on the phone today, and he was telling me about how he's always noticed that the real estate market in Oxford goes up and down with the football team. When the football team's playing well, real estate in Oxford does well. When the football team's not good, the opposite happens. And I had a moment, too, before I went down there this weekend where I thought, damn, you know, I'm going to see what Airbnbs cost. I don't know if I want to sleep on a couch in a college house. And long story short, I slept on a couch in a college house because I couldn't find a place to stay in Oxford for two nights for less than $1,000. Absolutely insane. So it was a fun weekend. That's kind of the rundown of that game there. LSU just feel like their defense is great. Like I said, their linebackers can be pretty flat-footed playing RPOs. But their defense is great. They fly to the ball. They've got great athletes, playmakers. I love that LSU band. We were right next to them the whole time. They're just getting it hype. You know, what's that freaking song? I can't think of it. It's the Go Tiger. Da 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 da, go Tiger! Da 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 da, go Tiger! Da 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 da, go Tiger! Da 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 da. Yeah, fire, dude. I've been thinking about this for the last like 2 weeks. I don't think I've actually ever made this take on the podcast. I think the main thing, it is the number one ingredient that makes college football so special, the environment so special, are the bands. The bands give it this unique flavor that you literally can't get at any sporting event anywhere else in the world. They've created these traditions. They've built these band programs over years and years and years. And LSU's got one of the best bands out there. One of the best bands out there. It is so fucking sick to watch a football game and literally have the band narrate the game in real time with their respective fight songs, their respective flavors. Every school band has got their own signature songs that they play. It's just a ridiculous, awesome cultural anomaly that you will not find at any other sporting event anywhere in the world. It's sick. You know, and I had a tough time with the fact that I love Ole Miss. And again, I didn't go to Ole Miss. I didn't go to LSU. But in other lives, I could see myself being a student at either of those schools. I love both of the programs. I love both of the places. I love both of the cultures. And so, you know, I was with Ole Miss people, and They were cool. They were chill with me, but like, I'd love that. Oh, it's got to a point where I couldn't help it. I just kept doing it, and some people maybe thought I was cheering for LSU. Like, I just like getting people to say "suck that tiger." You know, I love that shit. It's my favorite thing in college football. That you can just sing something like that, and everybody with a certain color on will finish it for you in the most vulgar and obscene way. So that's what the deal with that was. Alabama versus Georgia. Listen, Kirby Smart, 1-7 against Bama. 1-7. Georgia went into this game in Athens with 33 consecutive home wins. And Alabama, who I have shat on in this program recently, who the entire media went after their week one loss against Florida State, goes into Athens and really puts on a clinic. I think they were 12 for 18 on third down. Georgia was, they had far less chances for third down conversions for whatever reason. Their percentage was far lower. It just, and I think A.J. McCarron said this, the former Alabama quarterback, on somebody's show recently, and I agree with this. Alabama seems to just have this mental hold on Georgia. It's completely mental. Because Georgia, pound for pound, has definitely got a better team to me. But they were not better on Saturday night. It was a beautiful game to watch. I mean, guys flying to the ball, hitting their ass off. Hitting their ass off. These Kirby Smart defenses. Oh, my God. You tell me if I'd rather watch a YouTube vlog about this year's SI swimsuit models or watch Georgia's defense against a prime SEC opponent like Alabama. I'm going to pick the latter every time, brother. And I'll have just as much blood flow. Pause. But seriously, oh my gosh, the way they flew to the football, the way they were hitting, oh, it got me so fired up, dude. I love watching Georgia's defense, but Alabama just seemed to get conversions whenever they needed them. And they just managed to stay in front. Georgia's D, they got a ton of stops. But Alabama just held on, converted when they need to, chewed clock when they need to. Ty Simpson, this kid for this Bama quarterback, kid reminds me of New York Daniel Jones, the way he looks scared out of his mind all the time. Like his eyes are just like, he just looks petrified, and he looked petrified that whole game. But then he would step in the pocket, confidently make a throw downfield, and the kid does spin it. He spins that football, man. He spins it really good, and he put footballs where they needed to be in the right moments. That was how Alabama won this game. I feel like there's two flavors of football that will never get old for me, that I will always have my eyes glued to the screen for every waking second, for every snap, is an SEC game like Alabama-Georgia or an AFC North football game. Why? Because every single inch is a fight. Every single inch is a fight. These Georgia guys, they have some freaking athletes. And I am glad there's, the grass is always greener, right? I am glad that college football is in a place today where if you lose one game, your season's not over. Because I do think Georgia deserves to be in there. And I say that emphatically, Georgia deserves to be in that playoff come the end of the season, because the way they fly to the football, man, I cannot even state to you how much I enjoy watching games like that. I cannot state to you. We're sitting in this damn college house at Ole Miss, and we got beautiful women like coming in and out of the house just willy-nilly. I'm glued to the fucking game. I don't care right now. Look at these guys fly to the ball. You want to sit down and watch it with me? You be my guest. I'll smell your...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Perfume a little bit, but I'm going to lock in on this game. I'm going to lock in on this Bama-Georgia game because these guys are flying to the ball. Flying to the ball. God, it got me fired up, man. Got me fired up. But Kirby seems to have some sort of bad juju with his former employer, the Alabama Crimson Tide. There's some kind of bad juju. First game in 33 consecutive home games that Georgia has lost, and it comes to Alabama. And so this game will probably even further reinforce that mental torture chamber that Alabama seems to have Georgia in. It will further reinforce it. But God, dude, I don't care what is going on. I will always watch these Alabama-Georgia games. I do not care if my future wife is giving birth to our 10th child and it's a boy. I'm watching this Alabama-Georgia game, even if it's on my phone. The game last year was incredible. The game this year was incredible. You just cannot, replicate SEC football like that, right? If it's Vandy and Missouri, different, right? But Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, they play at the Ole Miss game, they played this like montage on the big screen of the history of Ole Miss, LSU, the Magnolia Bowl. Gives me goosebumps even thinking about it. I took a video of it. I should throw it up here on the podcast here tomorrow or something. But just an incredible college football slate. It felt so good. Like I said, living out here in Phoenix, you kind of forget what's out there, what I came from, what I was subjected to for all these years growing up and in college. And, man, there's just nothing like SEC country. There's nothing like it. And I'm telling you, the main ingredient, obviously you get 90, 100,000 people in a building, that's pretty different, right? But the band, dude, I'm telling you, these band programs in the SEC, these college bands, they narrate the entire game for you, and it's fucking badass. And I just noticed this I've been watching these games my whole life. I just always like hadn't really thought about it, maybe took it for granted, and I was like, that's what makes college football different, especially SEC football different. These bands, they tell the story during the game, dude. It's so fucking badass. So that's kind of our weekend of college football. We watched some other games. Like I said, Penn State, Oregon, it was a good game. It's different, man. It's just fucking different. So we got a Bears win against the Las Vegas Raiders, which really shocked me. I got on a plane from Memphis to Atlanta, and since I was flying out of Memphis, when you're not flying out of these big cities, even if it's Delta, you don't get Wi-Fi on the plane, you don't get a screen on your seat back. So I was watching as Chicago approached the red zone to end the game, and I thought to myself, they're probably going to choke, they're probably going to get stuffed, Las Vegas is going to end up with the win. And I was sorely wrong. When I got on the ground in Atlanta, I said, oh, shit. Caleb Williams freaking got the job done. I'm going to say it one more time, the sound effect. Caleb Williams got the job done with his painted-ass nails, dude. He got the job done. And that's even with a combined, I think it was like, close to 250 yards rushing from the Raiders. Geneti had himself a game. Raheem Mostert had himself a game. But the Chicago Bears come out with the win. And Jackson Dart with his first NFL start coming against the LA Chargers at home in the Meadowlands. Malik Nabers tears his ACL. I posted a clip about it yesterday. They got to get rid of these fucking turf surfaces, man. It's spurring a lot of discussion on my TikTok right now. People are saying the turf's not to blame. Yes, it is. I've played on turf. Way more ACLs get torn on turf. So Malik Nabers gone for the year for the New York Giants. Gone for the year. And that's going to tamper some enthusiasm from yesterday's game because, listen, this Dart kid can play. I'm very hesitant to say he's him right now, but I'm damn close. He didn't even throw for 100 yards, but he ran all over the Chargers. He got first downs when he needed to. The kid's got swag. He's got the N-word pass. He plays football, man. And that's not coming from me, by the way, the N-word pass thing. I've seen that online. We got brothers telling people he's got the N-word pass, old Jackson Dart. Right? Guy posts a story on his Instagram of, I guess, there's some famous chick. Her name's Madison Beer, good-looking gal that Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert's been hanging out with. And apparently 24 hours before the game against the Chargers, Jackson Dart posted a picture of old Madison Beer on his Instagram story. And then I saw a clip on TikTok of somebody interviewing Jackson Dart on the street and saying, who's your celebrity crush? And he says, Madison Beer. Dude, I guess Justin Herbert is Justin Herbert, but if I was anybody other than Justin Herbert and I saw a clip of Jackson Dart saying that my girl is a celebrity crush, I would probably crash out, dude, because Jackson Dart is a swaggy individual and he knows how to play football. And like I said, if he goes and wins this next game and throws for over 100 yards, I'm going to be very impelled to say this guy is him. He's got that it factor. He's got that it factor, dude. And somebody I don't think that has an it factor is Brock Purdy. Jacksonville Jaguars beat the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, on the road yesterday. Brock Purdy's first game back from a turf toe injury. Wouldn't it be nice if Joe Burrow could have been back in 2 weeks like Brock Purdy was? But it seemed like Brock Purdy being back almost threw off the 49ers as they lost to Jacksonville. The 49ers were 3-0 with Mac Jones playing. They extended Brock Purdy to a huge contract when they had all these weapons in place. And now all these weapons are gone, and it seems like San Francisco's expecting Brock Purdy to carry them, and he does not have that ability. Brock Purdy has been overrated this whole time. Now, I will say San Francisco, they've had a lot of injury problems. I think McCaffrey left with an injury again. Again, dude, if you're drafting Christian McCaffrey in your fantasy league, still stop. This guy's made of glass. He's made of glass. Now, I will say anybody playing running back in the National Football League, I have a lot of respect for. It's a tough position. You go through a lot of violence. I think he's probably too small. First of all, but what do I know? The guy gets hurt every 2 weeks. It's insane. He's got insane ability. He's an insane athlete. I think he's one of those guys that is literally too athletic for his own body. Like, I played with some guys like that in college, guys that are so athletic, they generate so much power, so much force, that they don't adhere to the law of physics. And therefore, it tears their body down because their body just cannot withstand that kind of force being generated. because they're so athletic. I think Christian McCaffrey's one of those guys. Good for white people, right? But we can't stay healthy, man. We can't stay healthy. And so you leave Brock Purdy in a really precarious position because you extended him when you had all these weapons in place. Now all these weapons are gone, either due to roster movement or injuries, and you find the 49ers in a very precarious situation. I'd be shocked if the 49ers even sneak into the playoffs this year. I'd be fully shocked. And then after the game, you have a little talk between the head coach of the Jags, Liam Cohen, and the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, Robert Saleh, the former New York Jets head coach. So apparently what happened was Robert Saleh made a comment to Liam Cohen about some kind of legal sign-stealing operation that Liam Cohen's running. And Liam Cohen responds with, "Keep my name out your fucking mouth." And there's tons of bodyguards around holding him back in between them. And Liam Cohen's talking sideways. I get it. You're the head coach in the NFL. It's a egocentric game. You want your guys to respect you and see that being played back on the TV and say, my head coach has got us. But if that confrontation happened in the street, Liam Cohen's eating concrete. Liam Cohen would not stand on business in the street. Liam Cohen is not a gangster. He's far from it. Robert Saleh would shove Liam Cohen's head in a toilet with one hand tied behind his back. You got all these bodyguards in the picture. Like, I don't know. I almost have half a mind to say, no, you're wrong. And also, Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, said this in a presser afterward, too. Don't be so sensitive about it. You won. I get it. You're a first-year head coach. You're with an organization that really doesn't get respected all that much, I would say. You might have a little chip on your shoulder. You might find it beneficial to talk some shit. But it's not a good look when you have three or four 300-pound men in between you and the guy you're talking shit to. It's kind of like that Jack Doherty kid, that brain rot, cancer society kid that like walks around the malls and bumps people and antagonizes people on accident, and then when they get pissed, his big-ass bodyguard just steps in. It's just kind of bitch, you know. And again, I understand where Liam Cohen's coming from. He wants his guys to see that on the TV and say, my coach is a rider, my coach has got us. But I feel like the interaction almost sent the opposite message where, look, dude, you got three of your offensive linemen in between you and him, a couple other staffers in between you and the guy you're talking shit to. It's not really a good look. It's not really a good look that you get so offended about a comment like that. That's just me, though. What else do we got? Making sure I didn't miss anything. Chargers lost both their tackles in that game against the Giants, by the way. Joe Alt out. Slater out. Let's talk about the Eagles-Buccaneers game. Eagles played the Bucs, and the Eagles advanced to 4-0. A.J. Brown with two catches for 7 yards. I've got Devontae Smith on my fantasy team, regrettably, and I noticed he only had like 4 points as well. And I wondered, I said, what the hell's going on? You got A.J. Brown tweeting or putting on his Instagram story or both some cryptic shit about people wanting you around. And then I saw that the Eagles literally did not complete a pass in the second half. Now listen, I posted a clip on TikTok last week, and I said that Jalen Hurts cannot throw.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The ball downfield. It's a major flaw. Jalen Hurts is a system quarterback. He's a system quarterback. He's not elite. What do I know about playing quarterback in the NFL, though? You know, I'll have Tua Tagovailoa coming after me or some shit. Because he went after Cam Newton, a former NFL MVP, about the playing quarterback, talking about playing quarterback. Jalen Hurts is not elite. And I posted a clip on TikTok saying he cannot throw the ball downfield. And I got so much flack. Now, here's a guy that doesn't know ball. I got so much flack. The Eagles did not complete a single pass in the second half against the Buccaneers. You can't tell me that Jalen Hurts is even a top 10 quarterback. You're using an illegal play to get third down conversions. And you want to tell me this offense is like that? Again, they are winning. But you cannot tell me that this Eagles team is not protected by the league and that they are not a system team. If they don't have their systems, they don't have anything at all. They are not elite. They rely on the league taking care of them and the refs taking care of them. They're a system team. Again, this is football. We care about wins and losses. The Eagles are 4-0. You get it how you can. All right, it's hard to win games in pro football. You get it how you can. I really know that I probably sound like a hater right now. But let's be as objective as we can. If I came to you and I said, I want you, based on this one sentence, to tell me if an offense is good. Okay, what is it? Well, they didn't complete a single pass in a whole half of football. What's your answer? I know it's out of context. It might not be a fair question to ask. Jalen Hurts is a system quarterback. Put him on the New York Giants. Put him on the New York Jets. Put him on the Chicago Bears. I don't know. What other teams? We'd be looking at a guy fighting for his job. He got really lucky, ended up where he ended up. That's all I'm going to say about it. The Eagles have become the new Chiefs. That's all there is to it. Speaking of the Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo must just have Lamar Jackson's number. He really must. The Chiefs completely have the Ravens' number. And I watched this game, and I watched Lamar go off and Cooper Rush come in. And I'm thinking to myself, is Lamar quitting on his team? Is Lamar quitting right now? he's got his, you know, they say it's a hamstring injury, but he's got, you know, sorry, this part of his leg wrapped, you know, above the hamstring. And I'm thinking, is Lamar quitting? And then I start to notice myself getting some thoughts of, does this guy even have it? I know it's really easy to start trying to beat up on the Ravens right now because they're 1-3. They're really not playing well. They got the worst defense in the league. I believe now they're allowing 376 yards a game. They are dealing with some injuries on defense. They're really missing McDonald. You know, they lost their defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, to a head coaching job for the Seattle Seahawks this offseason. They are really missing him. And I think their new defensive coordinator is like a former linebackers coach, black guy. His name's Zach Orr, maybe. He's got to be feeling the heat right now because this Ravens defense is looking a lot like the Bengals defense of last year. Derrick Henry only got 8 carries yesterday. And I'm sitting here thinking, are the Ravens trying to be cute with their play calls on offense? I kind of felt like they were going away from their own game a little bit. Derrick Henry only with 8 carries. Maybe they're worried about him fumbling. I noticed he still had those goddamn sleeves on his arm during the game. It's not the sleeves for Derrick Henry. They're not going to be a problem once it starts cooling down. And I do feel like I walked outside in Phoenix today and the weather felt cooler. So maybe they won't be a problem anymore. I just noticed that yesterday. I was like, he's got it. You know, maybe they're worried about him fumbling. Maybe that's why they're not giving him the ball. But he only has 8 carries yesterday. Chiefs just have the Ravens number. That's all there is to it. What else? I might have covered everything. We're right at about 48 minutes. So, yeah, that's the slate of football. Obviously, we've got the Cincinnati Bengals facing off against the Denver Broncos here in less than an hour, and I am scared. I am petrified. This is a week-to-week league. We saw a lot of really wacky games, I thought, at least wacky starts. There were some moments in that Bills-Saints game yesterday where I thought that the Saints might have a chance. Now, the Bills are too good. They outlast them, end up beating them pretty good. But this Saints defense, they were flying to the ball. They looked really sharp at times, other than that Philly special. I don't even really want to call it a Philly special. That play was disgusting. Chris Olave throws a disgusting interception in the red zone. I thought the Browns were going to play the Lions a lot closer than they did. Really, the upset of the week in the league was the Giants over the Chargers. And I'm trying to think who else. Atlanta beat Washington. Marcus Mariota led Washington. I'm really scared for this. I can't. This is the first full podcast. I feel like this is the longest I've gone without talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. And I do want to hop on a stream here soon. So I am going to let you guys go here soon so I can do a Madden stream, head to jiu-jitsu. But I am scared for this Bengals game tonight. I don't think it can get much worse than it was last week. It was truly traumatizing. And I'm going to miss a good part of this Bengals game because I'm going to be at jiu-jitsu. So hopefully I get out of class and I'm pleasantly surprised because this is a week-to-week league. I had a friend of mine hit me up last night. He says, look, I'm thinking about betting the Bengals. They're huge underdogs. What do you think? And I said, look, I'm biased, but I don't think it could get any worse than it did last week. And this is a week-to-week league. Anybody can come out with a wizardress, I just came up with that word, a wizard game plan and shock everybody. It's pro football. But God damn it, I am scared. I am not sticking my neck out for Jake Browning. anytime soon. I am not sticking my neck out for this organization, this team, anytime soon. I haven't talked about it one time during this podcast, but our goddamn Cincinnati Reds secured a wild card spot, and they're headed to Los Angeles to topple the Dodgers in the wild card round tomorrow. Let's give the Cincinnati Reds a hand. How about it? Giving us tortured fans a little hope, because this Bengals franchise, this disparaging, I don't know if I'm using that word right, this disgusting Cincinnati Bengals franchise has let us down time and time again, and our Reds come through. They had a 3% chance to make the postseason just 2 weeks ago, and they finished the season strong. The Mets do us a favor and lose to the Miami Marlins yesterday, the Florida Marlins. Because the Reds did choke yesterday. They lost to the Brewers. But the Mets lost. The Reds get into the playoffs. I think I might drive to Los Angeles, California Wednesday night, buy me a ticket, and go see this Reds team in the postseason for the first time in a full season since 2013. How about it? I am so fired up about this team and the despair I felt as a result of these Bengals. It all feels worth it that the Reds are in the postseason. I know I don't talk about baseball that much on this show, and the reason I don't talk about it is because there's normally not much for me to talk about. Following one team in baseball 162 games a year, it is no light task. And when your team is normally losing, it's hard to get interested in it. But we are interested because our Red Legs are in the postseason, ready to make a run. We are ready to go, and I'm fired up about it. So that's how I'm going to close out the show. Good vibes. Hope you guys enjoyed this horizontal stream. I think we're going to try out the horizontal streams this week. It's just a better viewer experience, I would argue. We were using the vertical streams for a while just because I like getting discovered in the shorts feed. I like finding new listeners. We're at a phase of the show where we are looking to find new listeners. We're a fast-growing show. But I feel like the viewer experience is more important. So we're going to roll with this format for a little bit here, see how it goes. I'm going to hop on a Madden stream right now. I got about 32 minutes until I need to head to jiu-jitsu. And then we're going to hopefully enjoy some Cincinnati Bengals football. Again, I am scared. I am scared. I am in no way excited for this game tonight. I was actually relieved that the Orange and Black were not playing yesterday. It was a relief to me that the Bengals were not playing yesterday. But I am not relieved today. We've got the Stripes live on Monday Night Football against Denver. In Denver, it's going to be tough. But I'm going to let you guys go now. I'm going to hop on stream. Hang tight on the channel if you want to watch some Madden. It's going to be one game, then we're heading to jiu-jitsu. And if you got other shit to do, that's fine. We'll see you on the podcast tomorrow. If you're watching this and you're not subscribed, I highly encourage you to do so. It's the fastest growing football show in the world. We've got Madden streams. We've got daily clips. We've got daily live episodes keeping you up to date on all the football happenings and more in the world. And bare minimum, if you don't feel like subscribing, just double tap that screen for me. I don't know. We're not in the shorts feed anymore, so it might be different. But like the video for me. And as always, tell a friend about the show. Might spread some good vibes, some good love. And we will be back to see you tomorrow. So thrilled to be back. It's been a great weekend of football. And appreciate you watching.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.